And even young D.L. Moody, when he was a boy, had this thought in his mind, that God the Father is the ogre in heaven, while Jesus is the loving Savior on earth. And somehow people get it into their minds that up there in heaven, God has a plan to destroy men. But Jesus came into the world to sort of ameliorate, mediate, change the mind of God and placate him, soften him, and somehow win God on side. Thank you for joining with us again on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. We're bringing you the message of God's Word today. We're turning to John 3:16 on a series on the love of God for sinners. This, of course, ties into the Christmas theme, the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world to be the incarnate Savior, the Savior of men in human form. And we're looking forward this month to preaching these wonderful truths of Jesus coming into the world. Our hymn today is, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?" And we come back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 13. In the political world, the media and politicians are very fond of one-liners. Well, here is a one-liner for you to take to heart. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. This little brief statement gets to the heart of the problem and to the heart of the gospel. Sin separates, but the cross reconciles. When Jesus was stretched out on the cross of Calvary, he was a reconciler. Paul gets to this in these verses in Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 14. Let's read them together. "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Paul tells it as it is. Men without the gospel were far off from God. There was an eternal gulf between their souls and the heart of God. Be sure to take hold on that truth and let it take hold on you. The natural man who is unsaved or unconverted by the gospel is at an eternal distance from God. You are cut off without hope, and in Paul's language, you are an alien. A Canadian citizen crossing into the United States is referred to as an alien. You have no standing or rights in the U.S. You are a visitor cut off from the privileges of citizenship. You cannot work. You cannot claim legal aid or Medicare or any rights as a citizen of that nation. You are a foreigner. It's an uncomfortable announcement to hear as you enter that country that you are an alien. That is the same language used by the Apostle Paul when he refers to Gentiles, unconverted souls who are outside of Christ. You are an alien to God. You have no standing with God and can claim nothing of his love and mercy. You are hopeless and godless. Here enters the gospel, and Paul changes language to say in verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." The cross work of Jesus, the blood that he shed for sinners, gives us a hope and a standing with God. Paul goes on to show that all national differences or fences are broken down. That middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile is removed by the death of Christ. For while he is of the line of Judah, he has not come to die for Judeans only. He has not come to die for Israel only. He is the Savior of all nationalities in the world. Jesus is the Savior for the world. He is a Savior for all kinds of men and his church is truly international. After the Lord's resurrection, his command to his disciples was, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So whether you are European, African, Chinese, Korean, Russian, Aztec, or Arab, praise God, the gospel will save your soul when you believe in the Lord Jesus. Thankfully, more and more, with the movement of people around the world, you will find congregations of people made up of all nations. They unite their voices, hearts, and service to the praise and glory of the one Redeemer who hath made them nigh by the blood of Christ. You too can be reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. There is no one too far off. There is none too alienated by sin. There is none too lost to be saved by the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Go to him today, and you shall be saved. And now for that hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood," leading us to the message today, John 3:16, part 1, on God's eternal love for sinners. Turning back to John chapter 3 again, John 3, and of course to that well-known verse 16. John 3 verse 16 is our text today. One announcement I may have omitted, and that is that after our evening service this evening, we will be having refreshments. So ladies, if you can help with that, we'd much appreciate it. This evening. We also appreciate help afterwards for cleanup on that as we try to leave things in order for the preschool tomorrow morning. Now, John 3:16, I just discovered a mission, an evangelistic effort, and they use their theme 3:16. That's it. 3:16. Now, you know that you become a popular text when you can abbreviate it so much and expect to be adequately known in your advertisement. John 3:16 is really the gospel in a nutshell, and it gives the full version of all that we need to know really to be saved and to be sure of heaven. It has all the ingredients that make it a full gospel message. It reveals God's plan. It reveals God's purpose. And it reveals God's method of bringing you and me, a sinner, out of that state of perishing, going deeper and deeper in sin on the way to hell, and to bring us out of that way into the knowledge and the light, and above all, to be with God and have eternal life. Now, it really leads us to that place where we have peace with God. Peace with God. And that is something money can't buy. It's something that you cannot work up. And it's something that God's people must have. If we do not have peace with God, well, all our religion's a sham. We could read this Bible 100 times. But if we don't come to a personal fellowship and enjoyment of God in our lives, and if God has not spoken that word that he's at peace with us, then all our religion and all our striving after holiness, it falls flat because we're not any better off. No peace with God means no fellowship with God, and we'll never enjoy the very presence of God in heaven. Now, I came across a very dynamic outline on this text, and it has 4 parts. And what I intend to do over these next 4 Sundays, leading right up to Christmas, is to preach these 4 headings, these 4 parts to John 3:16. I want to give you the 4 of them just now. John 3:16 is love at its loftiest source. God gave. Love at its widest range. The world. Love at its deepest manifestation. His only begotten Son. And love at its highest purpose, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you have the preacher's plan for the next 4 Sundays. I hope you will come. I hope you will be here to hear each one of these headings and each one of these parts of this text. But today, we're going to look at love at its loftiest source. And our theme then is God gave. God gave. And I want this to be God's way of leading you personally to peace with God. Now, if you are like 99.999% of people in the world, you're going to be sitting right where you are right now thinking, what do I need to do to earn peace with God? That's going to be in your mind. It's going to be in your thoughts. And if you don't express it, it's the very thing that is motivating you right now. I want peace with God. What do I need to do? Well, the gospel puts the brakes on right there and says, look, it's not what you do. It's what God has done. And it says here in John 3:16, God gave. God gave. And I want you to latch onto that theme, and let's look at it in a few different ways here. God gave a sovereign decree to save his people. God gave a sovereign decree to save his people. This was the purpose of God from all eternity past. And it says right here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say that he began to love. Indeed, if we understand this right, there never was a time when God did not love sinners to be saved and bring them to heaven. They would be a chosen people, a special people, an elect people, and God set his love upon them from before the foundation of the world, before the world began, before Adam and Eve were created, before you were born. God had set his mind on a people, and he made a decree, an unbreakable command, that he was going to set his love upon a people and bring them one day to glory. They would be his church. They would be his body. They would be the bride of Christ. And he decreed that out of this sinful mankind, lost and hopeless through sin, that those people would be brought right into heaven. Now you're saying, preacher, that sounds great, but can you prove it? Is that the exact proper interpretation of John 3:16, that God gave a decree to save a people? Well, I'm going to give you four Bible passages that will synchronize with this very truth that we have right here. Firstly, Romans 8:29. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. That means that he loved them before time, whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate. That means to set a person's destiny before time. Predestinate. There's God at work. He sets his love upon them, and then he pre-programs their destiny. Either those that are perishing, he changes their direction, and he not only points them to heaven, but he decrees that they will be in heaven. That is the nature of the giving of God in these verses. Then let's move on to Ephesians 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us. Now notice the Bible word here. This is not just something that's dreamed up by certain theologians. This is God's word. According as he, Christ, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So I'm not saying too much. I'm not saying anything beyond what the Bible says. When I say that when God set his love upon sinners, that he made a decree, a command, that he would choose them, and that he would call them, what's he doing here? Well, let's read it in Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, there it is again, pre-programming our destiny. And God, from before the world was created, made that very determination. Then we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. This is when a preacher needs nerves of steel, when you find out that the verse you thought you had is different. And usually these double books is what plays the game on our minds. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And you can see in this text that it's all there. And he sets aside, it's not by our works. It's not by our good living. It's not by us reading the Bible 100 times or spending so many hours in prayer or doing religious good deeds. It's none of that. But God in his purpose, before we were even born, before we even did good or evil, he made this determination. He made a decree that he would set his love upon us and that he would pre-program our destiny, that we were certain to be called and brought to heaven because he purposed it. And that's what it says right here. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And here it is, the Bible speaking so clearly. Another text, number 4, is 1 John 4:19. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. And here we have in this particular passage again that God loved us first. And hereby we know that we, 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And so I cannot preach to you that if you work up great love for the Lord, that you'll become a Christian. I can't do that. That would sound, of course, very plausible. It would sound to be something that would seem to human reasoning a sensible way to get men to get right with God. Just start loving God. Work it up. But that's not how you are saved. It's not the basis upon which God loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. And of course, He loved us before we were even born, before the world began. And there is God's wonderful program to save His people and bring us one day to glory. So John 3:16 sets out this decree that we will be saved. Now there are 10 big words in this John 3:16 which sum up the gospel. God, loved, world, gave, Son, whosoever, believe, have, perish, and life. Dr. A.T. Pearson pointed out many years ago that the 10 big words of John 3:16 contain every element of the gospel. And they go in pairs. These 10 words, you can pair them together. There's God and His Son. And they show us the supreme giver and the supreme gift. God is the giver, and the Lord Jesus is the gift. Then you have loved and gave. They go together. You have the Father who is moved to give, and it was His Son that the Father gave. Then you have the world and whosoever. There is the direction of God's loving and giving, and it's good to know that He loves all, but better still, that He loves individuals. It's not just that He said, well, let's throw out a program to the world. No, Christ died for the whosoever will believe on Him and they shall be saved. Then you have the two words, believe and have. The two things that all human beings are privileged and invited to do. Believe and you have. Now notice it's not have and believe. You must believe first and then you have salvation because it's a gift by faith alone. It's not something that you get and then you believe in it. No, you are to believe and then you have. And the last pair of words, perish and life, the two ultimate extremes of man's destiny. Those who perish, and they are in the deepest, darkest hell for all eternity. And then on the opposite to that, you have life, eternal life with God in His glory. And so you can see here that this is the gospel in every shape and form. What are you doing with the light of John 3:16? Have you believed? Have you accepted the plan and the program of a great and wondrous God who gave His Son to save you from sin, that you would not perish, but that you would have eternal life? Now, John 3:16 is good news today. Will you see John 3:16, or is that mission I talked about just 3:16? That's good news to sinners today. But I have to warn you, there's going to come a day that when you see 3:16, it will condemn you. Because if you die without Christ, if you die without salvation, and you go into eternity and you stand before the judge of all the earth, and you see that message, 3:16, it will not be good news, but it will be the condemnation that you rejected God's plan, that you turned away from the one who offered eternal life to you, but you chose the way of sin and you went the way of darkness and you perished because you never invited Jesus, the Son of God, to be your Savior. Now we move on. Secondly, God gave His Son before the Son offered Himself. Now we're speaking here about the councils of eternity in the past, when God entered into an agreement with his Son to save his people. But somehow or other, and even young D.L. Moody, when he was a boy, had this thought in his mind, that God the Father is the ogre in heaven, while Jesus is the loving Savior on earth. And somehow people get it into their minds that up there in heaven, God has a plan to destroy men. But Jesus came into the world to sort of ameliorate, mediate, change the mind of God and placate him, soften him, and somehow win God on side. We'll read John 3:16 and let's debunk ourselves of that whole notion, because it says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. It wasn't that the Son loved the world. God so loved the world. And John's word for infinite is the little word so. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I want you to notice that this was not the church's plan. The church is called to preach the plan, but God is the author of it. It is not the plan which has evolved out of the schemes of religion. We all talk about the traditions of the church. Some traditions are very good, but many traditions are man-made and they sort of evolve over time and they become the way people think and react and do things in religion over a period of time and they become a tradition. But God's love for sinners is not merely the gathering moss of evolution or evolutionary thinking, but rather it is the eternal state of God's mind that he loved men from the beginning. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on his word. Remember that to abide in his word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.